Spurs fans, welcome back to another Spurs and Salsa. I'm your host, JD. And with me today, as always, the one and only Mouse in the house.
What's going on, world?
Man, doing, we're back. Doing? Not too bad. How about yourself?
Yeah, man, I'm doing well. I was wondering, I was sitting here waiting for it to start, and rumor was, I got to ask you because you're the boss man around here, but rumor was we're getting our intro song, some music.
Yes, so somebody reached out and said they'd like to do our musical intro. So hopefully in the next couple of episodes we'll have it for you.
I like it. But how was Thanksgiving?
It was good. It was good. I smoked a turkey. So I got up early, made sure that was ready for Thanksgiving. You know, you gotta eat. I'm sorry?
Did you do that in one of those pellet grills?
No. I did a real one.
Even a real one.
But yeah, I did that. We had quite a few people over, you know, family. How about you?
Yeah, man, it was good. Kind of bounced around. Went to my in-law. We usually start my in-laws. Up in Seguin, Texas, and then plan is always to shoot back to San Antonio, be at my mom's house before the start of the Cowboys game. So my mother-in-law is great. She always schedules the eating of the turkey over there early, so I have plenty of time to eat and then get to my mom's by 3.
So let me ask you, are your in-laws big sports fans?
Not really. Okay. So my mother-in-law she can be like she follows the Astros, so if the Astros are winning, like in the playoffs, she's like tuned in and she doesn't miss a game. She records them. If the Spurs are winning and they're in the playoff, she's tuned in, she's not missing a playoff game. But other than that, they generally won't. Her husband doesn't watch sports. That side of the family, they don't watch sports at all. So when I got there on Thursday, it's always a little awkward because the TV's off, right? And so around my family, the TV's on. It's on sports from the moment we wake up. So good thing my brother-in-law kind of got them to turn the TV on. He sold them on the Macy's Day Parade. They turned it on, and by about 11:30, I switched it to Fox and put the early game on.
So does your wife or in-laws ever give you grief for having to schedule stuff around sports for you?
You know what? By this point, so I've been with my wife now like 18 years. 18 years. So she is locked in. She knows how it is. In the very beginning, like when we met, it's been like this, right? I've always been like this. So like when we met, I'm particular about who I watch the Cowboys games with. I hate being interrupted and having people unknowingly talk football when I think that, you know, I don't value their opinion on football. And so she used to have to watch she would come over to my apartment when we were dating, watch the Cowboys game in the living room with one of the old co-hosts, Charlie. And so the girls would watch the game together in the living room. and I'd be in my bedroom watching the Cowboys game. so no, they're pretty clear. My mother-in-law knows everything's, you know, and I'm really only like that with the Cowboys. Like Longhorns, I got it, you know, I'll watch them. Spurs, I watch them. Astros, I watch them. But only with the Cowboys am I that much of a Nazi where I don't miss a game. I don't miss any time watching them. So they're okay. Pretty cool. They know.
Because everything you just said is exactly the same as my life. Yes.
That's why we get along. We're the same.
Like I couldn't. It was almost verbatim what you said is my situation.
So how are they? They're adjusted?
They've adjusted now because I've been married 10 years.
Yeah.
They understand that I won't miss a game. There's been times when maybe we go visit them on the weekends before, you know, during football season. They know we're going to bounce to give myself enough time to get back to San Antonio for the Cowboys. The Spurs isn't really an issue because, I mean, most of their games are during the week anyway, and playoffs. Yeah, that's never come up. Spurs is never an issue.
Yeah.
Like, I know I went to the Texas-Oklahoma game this year, and I had to haul ass back to have dinner that night in Austin for my father-in-law's birthday.
Wow.
So they had to push that back so I could make
it. I love it. Yeah.
Just little things like that.
So hats off to our families for putting up with our crazy shenanigans.
Yes, and our wives.
Yeah.
The cool thing is I've gotten my oldest son just as crazy about it.
Oh, it's the best.
So you get someone on your side, then it works out.
Yeah. And your wife's outnumbered. She's,
yeah, I have two boys. The little one's now at the age where he cares and he wants to know when the next game is, things like that. Like, I was checking on his Santa list and he asked for a Cowboys helmet.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, she'll definitely be extremely outnumbered.
Does he want, like, an autographed Cowboys helmet?
Nah, he just wants one to play around with. He wants to put it on and wear it and play football during the games.
Oh.
My kids are very much, like, imitating the screen, so to speak.
Yeah, that's correct. I have a picture from when I was probably like 4 or 5 years old in front of the Christmas tree. Christmas is coming up, and talking about that made me think of it. I'm standing in front of the Christmas tree with a Cowboys helmet, a little plastic Cowboys helmet that we probably all had, and a Nintendo box.
Nice. That's
probably my best Christmas thinking back.
Because I think with them is they're very much a what they see, what they'll get into.
Mm.
So they have Longhorn helmets. They've had those forever. Or if we're in the middle of Spurs season, they'll bust out the Nerf hoop.
Oh, that's
like they'll make me drag it in the TV, you know, the living room so they can watch the game and do that. Like right now, there's no interest in basketball.
Man, because
for the kids.
Yeah.
Like they play with the neighborhood kids. The neighbors have hoops. We have a hoop. But right now it's all they want to play football in the front yard.
That's it, bro. It's November, December. Weather's cooling down. Do they play Sideline Kill? Did y'all used to play that?
No, and me and the kid's dad were talking about that yesterday. Because we were throwing the ball with our kids and playing football. And the sidewalk's a sideline.
Yeah.
And I said, I guess they don't know about Sideline Kill. And he started laughing. He goes, yeah, they don't. They really don't. I'm going to have to teach them one day. I don't want to be responsible for a random kid getting hurt.
Just start the game and be like, Sideline Kill, everybody. Just don't say anything. Just say what it is and let them run up that sideline and just take them out.
we've been playing football in the front. It was a perfect day because I played ball in the front with the kids. And I was able to come inside in time to watch the Spurs game. And I don't want to call it a streak yet, but
yeah,
they're playing some better basketball the last couple of games. They're on a 2-game, I guess I have to call it a streak, winning streak.
Yeah, take it. We'll take it however we can get it, any sort of streak.
I think yesterday was kind of the perfect day because they blew out the Wizards. And DeJounte Murray continues to be the best player on the court.
Sheesh.
But Josh Primo got 12 minutes.
I was thinking about you, seeing him getting playing time, thinking about us talking about him.
I'm glad. So he's getting minutes because Devin Vassell's hurt.
Yeah.
I'm glad he gets called up and he actually gets used. Because, and I tweeted this and I was joking, but I thought it would have been funny if he got called up to San Antonio, to the main roster, and doesn't get to play a minute. And I only said that because Twitter would explode. Like,
yeah.
Spurs Twitter would light on fire. But I am glad he got 12 minutes. He took two shots, 2 3-pointers, made them both.
Yeah, knocked him down early. It was like 6 points in 6 minutes in his first little time on the court.
You know, I've been one to preach patience with him. You know, he's a project. He's supposed to be in Austin. But if he continues to shoot well like that, I don't see a reason to not give him Bryn Forbes minutes. Because Bryn Forbes is on this team to stretch the floor and hit threes.
And he's been doing that recently. He struggled to start the season.
I feel yeah. And that's what makes it harder because I was just about to say, just give those minutes to Primo. He'll do the same thing.
Yeah.
But you're also, you know, giving your young guy minutes. But yeah, I mean, Forbes was 4 for 6 yesterday. 2 for 3 from three. So he's starting to kind of, like you just said, he's doing what he's supposed to. So I don't know where there's a spot for Primo. I'm still going to be patient because one guy who I thought would be good, and I think I even praised the beginning of this season on this podcast, is starting to fade back to what he's always been, and that's Lonnie Walker.
Mm-hmm.
And Lonnie, this is the last year of his contract. I'm guessing long-term, the Spurs will let him walk and just fill that role with Primo next year. So I'm okay with the long-term giving Primo 25, 30 minutes in Austin, calling him up during an injury. I'm going to be okay with that for now because I do see the long-term picture, and that is getting Primo a bunch of minutes, teaching him how to be a pro. Because the thing is, even last year in college, he wasn't the primary scorer.
Mm-mm,
so he doesn't know how to do that yet. So I'm not going to get all up in arms that Primo's not going to stay in San Antonio too long because I do think the transition plan is Lonnie out, Primo in. And that's okay with me. But it is cool to see when Primo does play, he's confident. Not only is he confident, he's already, based on a very short sample size, probably the best pure shooter in the Spurs organization. Just the way, it comes off his hands clean. He's just, I'm okay he's saying that.
Nice shot.
I think he's the best pure shooter. Maybe McBuckets, but it'd be a good shootout for those two.
One thing I will say is when he's out there, you know, I think of Luka, right? Because I'm always going to go back to him because we had super high hopes for him. He was, our first overall.
Yeah.
When Luka was out there, he always seemed kind of lost, right? I feel like he never fit in. He didn't. It seemed like, I'm like, what are you doing, Luka? Like, get in there. I was always questioning myself with him. But when Primo is in there, it feels like he fits right in.
He knows what he's doing. Yeah. Austin, yeah. And I'm not trying to get people upset that he's in Austin, but Austin has helped already. You're right. He's taken to coaching quickly,
mm-hmm.
which is another positive sign that he won't be there long. And with Luka, I don't know if he was just not grasping it. To me, he always looked like he lacked effort.
Yeah.
But I don't like calling people a player lazy. I don't know their intentions. Maybe he was just lost. But you're right. He didn't. He always looked like a deer in headlights. I remember specifically, I think it was Keldon just pushing him like, you're supposed to go to this spot.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it is promising that Primo fits very easily and seamlessly. And that is the benefit of Austin. But it is cool to see him. 12 minutes. If all we get is 12 minutes from him and he's going 2 for 2 for 3, you can't ask for a better game, right?
No, yeah. That's a win for sure.
Keldon, Derek White starting to play better. Derek White had 24 last night. Shoot.
Man, I know we were – you talked about it briefly earlier, but the year DeJounte's having
– Jesus.
We can't be – I don't know what else you can ask for. I saw he's averaging like 8.5 rebounds per game, which is first among guards, over 8 assists, which is 7th in the league, and 2 steals, which is 5th in the league. And those are all-time highs, all career highs for him.
He's 21st in rebounds, not guards,
yeah,
in the league.
Yeah.
And you were right about assists. Like, he's very close to a triple-double.
Mm-hmm.
8.5 rebounds, 8 assists a game. He's having himself a year. I promise you, if he doesn't make the All-Star team, I am going to be such a crybaby on this podcast. I'm going to have a meltdown. We will definitely be pushing for that once voting comes. But yeah, the crazy thing is he seems like he's been here for a while now. He's 25 years old. He's 25 years old. He's taken the leadership role. He's really found his spot. And I think he looks a lot like Scottie Pippen out there, which is fitting because I think he's going to be a very, very, very good Scottie Pippen for the Spurs. They just have to find their Jordan.
Yeah, it's a good comparison.
If it's Primo, if it's Vassell, if it's Keldon, or if it's whoever they draft next year, if they land at the top 5 or 10 lottery pick. But you do have something very solid to start to pair with DeJounte right away. And I would like to see if it's Primo. But yeah, Murray's having an amazing season. It is nice. It's refreshing that Derek White and Keldon are starting to come back to come on strong. And it's funny, they started to turn a corner and the Spurs have won 2 straight right when I was convincing myself that tanking, even if it's unintentionally, I guess I won't call it tanking, losing. I was starting to convince myself that maybe losing is the best option for the long term of this franchise. And now they're getting me excited again of the possibilities of this year. Another crazy thing before we move on from the Spurs, their record right now, 6-13, is the exact same record they had last year.
At this point, really, they're 6-13?
Yes. Last year, they had some aging vets. DeRozan, Aldridge. They were leading the charge. This year, 6-13 feels a lot better just because you're seeing what you got with the young guys. And they're going to get better, naturally. But yeah, they're identical records. That's very promising.
What does he need? 26? 26 wins, I think, to be the all-time winningest coach?
Yeah, so he needs 20 more, I'm guessing.
20, yeah.
I think that's what it is. So that's another thing, man. That's a good point to bring up. We're on Pop Watch. So, yeah, it's going to – it might get closer down to the wire than we thought it would be of getting it.
Yeah.
But I still think he gets it.
Yeah, I think so.
And on the ESPN podcast, now they don't have any inside scoop, but is it Jacoby and Jalen podcast?
Mm-hmm.
They said that they feel Pop's going to retire this year and just hand the keys over to Becky. Now, again, they didn't cite a source or anything, but just something to note, they do have their ears to the NBA. Maybe that's the sentiment. I also know that I think it was against the Suns. After the game, the Suns team went and embraced Pop and took pictures. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's been certain stops on the road that feels like a farewell tour.
Mm.
Like maybe the league kind of knows, but out of respect for him, no one's saying anything.
Yeah. You know what? Something that I've kind of noticed and I don't know if I'm just kind of nitpicking or looking for something that's not really there, but it seems like it. Like when I think back to our runs and I think of the way Pop used to get into Ginobili's butt, like he would, or Parker or even Duncan, like he'd lay into these guys when they make a mistake. I see these young guys make a mistake and he just kind of pats them on the butt. Like I'm not saying he's checked out, but he's definitely, I feel like he's coaching them different than he did those guys. And I wonder if he knows, like, this is it for him.
Now, it could be a generational thing, too.
Yeah.
Maybe he knows he doesn't have a Tim Duncan to point at.
Yeah. So you're saying these young cats weren't playing sideline kill when they were little?
Yeah. They don't have the mentality for sideline kill.
Yeah.
They don't have anyone to show them.
It's okay to be, you know, that. And
take it to the woodshed, yeah.
Yeah.
Now they did. He did get in their ass a little yesterday. And Jeff McDonald from San Antonio Express News pointed it out. I'm trying to find his tweet. But he did point out that he did say that he doesn't get into them often.
Really? Okay. So it's not just me thinking that.
Yeah. Where is it at? Basically, the tone of it was, he's okay with them missing shots. He wants them to take shots.
Yeah.
He's okay with, you know, as long as the effort's there. When he feels there's not an effort or there's things that they can clean up, Oh, here it is. Jeff McDonald at jmcdonald_SAEN. Pop is losing his patience with the youngsters tonight. Calls a timeout after the last possession, meets KJ coming off the floor and yells, get a rebound.
Oh, okay.
And then he responds to his own tweet. Pop has been pretty consistent this season and that he's not going to moan about poor shooting. When the Spurs start mucking up the other things they need to do to stay in games, that's what riles them up.
Okay, that's good.
So there is some, there's less of it, but it's more, it's almost like, okay, he knows shooting's going to go up and down. He doesn't have any pure, you know, he doesn't have a Steph Curry on his team.
Yeah.
But if there's things that he knows he can fix, he'll still get, yeah. So it'll be interesting to see if they build on this two games. It feels, I mean, Murray's going to give you what Murray gives you, right? He's the best player on the team. It really feels like this team's going to win if Keldon and Derek play to their potential. And, you know, Lonnie, I think at this point, Lonnie's Lonnie.
Yeah.
He's going to give you sparks, and he could be a, he could make his name in the NBA as a bench player that, you know, gives you some sparks, but you can't count on him to carry the load, I don't think.
No, no way.
So, we'll know more. I mean, we'll continue as the whole season goes. You know, we're going to be covering them all year, but it seems like this team will go as Keldon and Derek go. And that's by design, right? This team's, those are two of the young cornerstones, so no surprises there. The Spurs are winning two in a row. The Cowboys have lost two in a row. They've lost three of the last four. Injuries and just sloppy play has caught up to them. We can start with Kansas City. I guess we don't have to break it down by game. I just think more so the injuries have piled up to the point. And I'm not going to blame it all on injuries. But the injuries have piled up to the point where they've made it extremely difficult for this team to win. You know, you go into Kansas City, you don't have either of your starting defensive ends. Amari Cooper's out that game, and I think Tyron Smith was out. Offense starts to fall flat. This offense, we've discovered Dak Prescott's one of the best quarterbacks in the league, but it's still dictated by its toys.
Yes, I would say yes, but a note that I have is Dak here recently has shown he's human. Like, I don't want to say he's the reason we're losing, but he's missing throws that he usually makes. He's not feeling pressure. Like, he never does. He's never felt that. But
those, he's never been good throws, yet.
On those throws, he's usually money, but he's missing them on third downs or fourth downs, and that's costing us drives and costing us possibly the game. I mean, even the way that game started the other day, he had Gallup up the sideline. He makes that throw that – I mean, that's like a – right off the bat, that sets the momentum for the game. And he missed that throw, and then I think he came back and missed the next throw, I think. But yeah. Dak, we go as Dak goes. If he's having a bad game, it is tough for us to win. And his bad games are really bad.
And I think we're kind of saying the same thing. Like, I'm saying Dak's not good enough to overcome the loss of toys.
Yeah.
A lot of toys. I think, you know, even on Thanksgiving, Zeke was almost a – in case of emergency back.
Yeah.
They only use them, I think, just in the red zone. And you know he's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But they still said, hey, and credit to Zeke, right? He knuckled up for that touchdown. Jerry Jones came out and said Zeke's going to get a heavy workload this Thursday against the Saints. Not sure why. I'm not going to question how they handle things medically, but if he's that banged up, then just let him sit. But anyways, you didn't have Cooper, you didn't have you didn't have Lamb.
And that's something too that I wanted to talk about is Cooper's, to me, he's like our Tim Duncan. Like, he's quiet, he's fundamental, he doesn't get a ton of love. He's fundamentally one of the best route runners in the league, but he's not loud, right? So he doesn't get a lot of the hype that the other top wide receivers get. But when he's not there, even that first half against Kansas City where CD was there, CD couldn't get open, and they were crowding the box. Cooper, I think, is underrated on our team on how good and how much the defense adjusts to Cooper being out there. And I think we were really missing him.
I think that's true, but I also think Kansas City saw a blueprint to beat the Cowboys receivers that if you jam them up front and mess with their timing, it messes the whole offense up, the whole passing game.
Yeah.
So we'll see if our wide receivers coach, our offense coordinator, if they're able to make teams pay for jamming up the receivers. That's where Dak has to hit those open shots down the field.
Yeah, I think it's true. These last two games were without CD and Coop. So we're talking about Gallup and Wilson. I mean, Noah Brown. We're not talking about
Noah Brown's receivers. Playing a lot. But you mentioned Lamb not being able to get open. A lot of that was he got jammed. He's a little guy. He's someone that you might want to put in motion most times pre-snap to get him open. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Create a mismatch to where they can't go jam him up. Because I think his frame, his small frame is going to be – that's how they've decided they're going to try to beat Lamb and neutralize him. So you've got a scheme around that. They do get DeMarcus Lawrence back this week, which I think is huge because Parsons is an amazing pass rusher, but you need him all over the field.
Yep.
He can't be your primary defensive end. I mean, he can, and he does it great, but then your run defense suffers from that. You need him spying the quarterback and attacking once he gets out of the, once he gets out of the pocket. You need him helping with the run game. You need him blitzing when you least expect it. That's when he's at his best. I mean, he's at his best wherever he's at, but what I'm saying is the rest of the defense.
We're better collectively with him.
Needs him. Yeah, we need him to do everything, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So that's promising. They're hoping Randy Gregory comes back by the Washington game a week later.
Yeah.
But going into this week, luckily the Saints have started to falter to what their roster looks like and what it doesn't look like. I hope they have enough. I hope Lawrence at the edge and having Parsons move around is enough defensively. And you're getting Gallup. You'll have Gallup and Lamb back for sure. They're still worried about Cooper's, we're recording this on Tuesday. About an hour ago, I saw a report that Cooper still has a bad cough.
Yeah.
He's still not practicing. Like COVID. I know with athletes and especially as sports fans, we're treating COVID as like an inconvenience, right? Like an ankle injury. Oh, well, he'll be out a week. It's still a very real thing, especially, we have to realize these athletes, some of them are going to get it worse than others. And Cooper's COVID seems to have been pretty bad to where it's going to take some time for him to get back on the field. He might play Thursday, but again, as of Tuesday, he wasn't practicing. And they said if he can't practice Wednesday, he probably won't play Thursday.
Yep.
And of course, the news is out. McCarthy's going to miss the game with COVID. Hope everything's okay with him. And I know he said his family all caught it, so he's dealing with that. There's like six or seven coaches with it.
Yeah, we got a slew of players and personnel that are going to be out this game because of COVID.
Terrence Steele won't play. Jerry Jones did mention, and as of now, as we record this, we don't know who, but he kind of hinted that there's another player that's going to miss because of COVID. I wish he would have just said the name, but
he maybe said there's that. I didn't
yeah. So we'll see.
Dan Quinn, I think, will officially be our head coach.
Yeah, and I like that. Coach. I was talking to my neighbor about it, because a lot of people assumed it'd be Kellen Moore, right?
Yeah.
And of course, the rumors are out that Kellen Moore will be a head coach next year. And, you know, there's going to be theories. Oh, they don't want him to shine. Yeah. But that's not it at all. You have a coach in Dan Quinn that was a head coach last year.
Yeah.
He knows how to balance his defensive duties and head coaching duties. You take advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, one thing for Kellen Moore, you know, we all debate who has more say in the offense. Who do we give credit to when it's going good? Who do we give blame when it's going bad? Who do we give credit to for the fourth down decisions? You know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I expect Kellen Moore to be 100% in charge of the offense. Maybe aside from deciding fourth downs or kicking field goals. And it'll be interesting to see who makes those calls in the game.
Yeah, does he go over to Dan Quinn and just be like, hey, what do you think here? Or does he have the freedom to take it upon
That's an interesting dynamic. And I have a feeling we won't know till after the game. But I will be looking for little nuances like that and how the offense looks. Because as far as play calling and down-to-down offense, it'll be all Kellen Moore. And we'll see something different. Maybe it'll just be justification as to, oh, he's been calling plays the whole year. This looks exactly the same, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it is his game. But I am curious, like you said, who makes a decision on fourth downs and things like that. But we'll see. It's an interesting game. I'll tell you that.
How frustrated are you with Tristan Hill?
He can't get out of his own way, Kenny.
No, I don't get it. And he had a good game.
He did. And I've always rooted for him. Now, suspending him for two games for that is kind of BS.
Yeah.
But it is what it is, right? Like, you can't do that. You can't put yourself in that position.
No way.
But, yeah, I am a little frustrated. But what can we do, right?
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to ask is, where do we stand on AB?
I was going to ask you about that, because we've been up and down on Anthony Brown. We praised him.
Yeah. Four PIs, I think, is that the first time that's ever happened in a game?
I don't like what the refs – a lot of those calls were BS.
Yeah, we've been playing against the refs for sure.
But it also comes down to, you can't put yourself in that position.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you put him – it was third and long in overtime. The refs had been calling that all game.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you put him in that position?
Yeah, give him help over the top.
Something.
Yeah.
I still think he's a solid corner, but it's also an area where they'll be addressing in the draft again. I'm disappointed Keldon Joseph or – Nathan Wright can't take that job from him. And maybe it's just too much to ask for rookies. And maybe Brown's played well enough to keep him off the field. But it is something that they're going to have to adjust to this year. Or it's going to derail their aspirations.
Yeah, for sure. And I'm not as down on him. I mean, he had a couple of some bad plays and a couple of bad games. But he's always played with the chip on his shoulder, so I think he'll get over it pretty quick. And there's a mentality to being a corner where you gotta stay aggressive. When you start doubting yourself, then you get down pretty quick. It's almost like a kicker. So I'm hoping he has that chip on his shoulder and he stays committed. And
oh, you just like seeing chip on his shoulder, don't you?
It does.
For those that don't know, he has a literal chip tattooed on his shoulder.
Yeah, he's always felt like that.
Yeah, and he'll feel like that this week after mm-hmm. that horrible game. So we'll see how he responds. I do expect the Cowboys to win. They need to look good doing it. And I know it's a weird week. We just talked about all the reasons why this has been a trying week for them. But they need to get back into killing people, killing teams.
Yeah.
Because right now the doubt's setting in. We're about to see how good of a culture – this team has.
Yeah, it's national game, Thursday night football, 4.5 point favorite. So we need to come out and handle business.
We're really going to see what their culture is all about. Their head coach isn't there. Has he set a culture to where he doesn't have to be there? It's kind of like a parent. Do your kids behave even if you're not watching them? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is the culture strong? Can it withstand losing 3 out of the last 4 games? Can it overcome COVID and injuries and all this other stuff? We'll see.
Yeah. And if by some chance we come out and lose, it's like a different division, because Washington and Philly, when they're just a game back from us with a bunch of division games ahead of us. So we need this one.
Yeah, I agree. The only saving grace is nobody in the NFL looks unbeatable. So as bad as it looks for the Cowboys now, they're still in the 4 seed in the NFC. Let me see what they're in the 4 seed. Their game.
Yeah.
The Packers lead the North. Their game ahead of Dallas. Tampa leads the South. Their game ahead of Dallas. Arizona leads the West. They're 2 games ahead of Dallas. So they're a game or two away from being the 1 seed. So they're in a particular spot. They're in a peculiar spot, but they got to play their way out of it, right? Yeah. Like you said, the division's not over yet.
Yeah.
And they can still eke up to the 3 seed or the 2 seed. So you got to go out and win it. You got to go out and do it.
Did you catch that that Green Bay Rams game?
I did.
What are your thoughts there, man?
It's so the Cowboys are getting all the press, but the Rams have, I don't know what, 3-game losing streak? Yeah, because I saw a meme. So when Von Miller got traded, he said he woke up 6-1 or whatever. And they haven't won since they got Von Miller.
Yeah, they lost to the Titans, the 49ers, and the Packers.
And that's what I'm saying. The Rams were the team that was kind of scared me.
Yeah.
And so even with – it feels like every good team in the NFL are going through skids. December, we're about to find out who's going to play their way out of them.
Mm-hmm.
And who are the real contenders. So as bleak as it looks for Dallas the last couple of weeks, they can play their way out of this. Nobody's run away with the league or the division or the conference. The Rams look vulnerable. I guess the Cardinals still look really tough, but the Cowboys have them on their schedule, so they can kind of prove themselves in a few weeks also. You said Washington is 2 games back. The Cowboys still have 2 games with them. I mean, The Cowboys can still go out and prove they're one of the better, or if not the best teams, as they get healthy. And I know we've sounded doom and gloom on here, but you're going to add a Pro Bowl defensive end in DeMarcus Lawrence. Then you're going to add someone who's on pace for a Pro Bowl this year, Randy Gregory, a defensive end. You're going to eventually add Amari Cooper, Pro Bowl receiver. You're adding back CeeDee Lamb. You've gotten Tyron Smith back. You're getting pieces back. I mean, these are major pieces too. We're talking everybody I just named are probably top 10 players on this team. Top 5. I mean, DeMarcus Lawrence was the best defensive player. When he got hurt, he had been the best defensive player on this team the last few years.
Yeah.
Now, Trayvon Diggs, Micah Parsons, maybe even Randy Gregory have passed them up. That's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. But don't sleep on Tank Lawrence. Like, he's been the rock of this defense for a while. He's probably excited to finally have some help.
Yeah, no kidding. And if we are going to go through some speed bumps, right? We're going to struggle a little bit, lose a couple of games. This is where we want to do it, right? We want to get this kind of out of our system, November time. Come back in December, regroup, get it together, and be like full steam ahead come January in the playoffs. So there is kind of a bright side to hitting these speed bumps right about now.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a great spot. Let's see how December happens. Like, and it's not just for the Cowboys. every team in the NFL that's, you know, they've all hit skids. December is about to separate the contenders and pretenders. Not just for Dallas, but for everyone in the league. They're having these same kind of podcasts in California about the Rams, you know? So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see. The NFL's been, like we just talked about, a roller coaster of a ride. But college football, Jesus. I don't know what's more fun, on the field or off the field. I mean, we'll start on the field, and we'll start on a bad note. UTSA. So since we've recorded, we took Thanksgiving off. UTSA won the biggest game in program history and one of the best sports moments in San Antonio history. They beat UAB on a last-second touchdown with 7 seconds to go to win the division and to punch their ticket, not only to be in the conference championship, but to host the conference championship. And to make it even more San Antonio, it was in front of like 40, 45,000 fans at the Alamo Dome. Frank Harris, the quarterback, is from San Antonio. Cardenas, the tight end that caught the touchdown, is from San Antonio. Like that, there might as well have been Big Red and Barbacoa the next day. It was so San Antonio. And then they ate the cheese.
Oh, no.
They lay an egg on their last regular season game against North Texas. They came out flat. It ruins their ranking. We'll know tonight if they're still ranked in the college football playoff, but I doubt it. Other than it ruins their perfect season.
Yeah.
But other than that, everything's still in front of them. They're playing for the conference championship this Friday night. If you don't have tickets yet, good luck if you're trying to go. That dome might end up hitting 50, 65,000 people, which is a good thing. If not, the game's on CBS Sports Network, 6 o'clock. I'm sure every bar in town will have it on, or you're at home. Whatever, you got to watch it. They can still win their conference, which is the ultimate goal for every college football team, especially the mid-majors, the group of five that can't make the playoffs. This is the ultimate goal. Go win a conference title. And then we'll see what bowl game they end up in after the fact. But they got Western Kentucky. They did beat them at Western Kentucky earlier in the year. But Western Kentucky is a really good football team. And I want to say they're a one-point favorite in Vegas.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it's no guarantee. What are you going to say?
Yeah, I was going to say, I do see they're a point and a half underdog.
Yeah, so it'll be a great game. If you can get a ticket, go down there. If you want to go tailgate. I was at the UAB game. It was amazing. The atmosphere is top-notch. I got to tell you, if you missed out on a game this year, try to get a ticket. It is a lot of fun. Tailgating inside the dome. I mean, the whole atmosphere is great. I love the fact that downtown buildings are starting to put up orange and blue lights. I was downtown this weekend. Frost Bank had their orange and blue lights up. I think Friday night they're going to all go orange. I think every downtown building is going to try to go orange. So it's been fun around San Antonio, and hopefully it ends with a conference title Friday. What else is going on? Alabama. Did you watch the Alabama-Auburn game?
I didn't, man, but I'm regretting not watching it. Oh,
it was good. I remember telling myself, well, this game will suck, but I'll start it. And then Auburn just kept sticking around, staying ahead. They couldn't hold on in the end.
I know it.
But it was a great game. Michigan, Ohio State. Michigan finally gets over the hump.
Gets that win.
They hadn't beat Ohio State in 8 years.
Damn.
And I will say this, you know, we're going to talk about coaching changes here in a minute. Michigan stuck with Jim Harbaugh. You know, last year, a lot of people were saying they were going to fire him. He took a pay cut, I think, actually. But they stuck with him, and now it's paying off. They beat Ohio State. They're going to be a top five in the college football playoff rankings tonight.
There's no way Ohio State stays in, right?
No. They have two losses.
Two losses, yeah.
Michigan has one. Michigan's playing for the Big Ten title this week. If they win that game, which they should, Michigan will be in the college football playoffs. And that'll be fun. It's a blue blood that hasn't been there in a while. And it's somebody kind of new for the playoffs. That'll be a lot of fun. Oklahoma had one of their worst couple of days maybe ever. Mm-hmm. They lose to Oklahoma State, which means they're not going to the Big 12 championship. And then they lose their coach the next morning. It'll be interesting. So the Big 12, so before we get into the Big 12 more, the college football playoff will be Georgia. As of today, I'm guessing Georgia, Michigan, Cincinnati, and Alabama. But Georgia and Alabama will play this week for the SEC championship. If Georgia takes care of business, the Big 12 champion should probably get in, which is between Oklahoma State and Baylor. And what a turnaround for Baylor again. Like that school.
They'll jump like Notre Dame?
Well, yeah, I think so. Because Notre Dame's not in a conference. Mm. So Notre Dame doesn't have the luxury of playing this week.
One more game, yeah.
And winning. Whereas Oklahoma State and Baylor, they're both going to be in the top 10, probably in the top 8. So the winning team will have a very strong victory over somebody. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that'll propel them into the playoffs. Now, if Alabama beats Georgia, Georgia probably loses but stays in the top four.
Top four, yeah.
So very interesting weekend of conference championships. Obviously rooting for UTSA, and then there's other implications throughout the country. Cincinnati still has to win their conference. They're playing against Houston in the American Athletic Conference Championship. That's no gimme. So there's plenty to play for. As far as FCS, Football Championship Division, Series, whatever, Incarnate Word won their first round playoff game. That was a great game, too, against Stephen F. Austin. I was able to watch that on ESPN Plus. They won in overtime. They were losing the whole game, and they ended up coming back in overtime.
Was that in Incarnate Word?
Yes, it was Incarnate Word. But the next round will be against Sam Houston at Sam Houston. Sam Houston's a powerhouse in that not only conference, but that whole division of football. So it'll be tough for Incarnate Word. But swinging back to the big boys, Oklahoma lost their game, then they lost their coach. Lincoln Riley surprised everybody. There was no rumors of this at all. And he's going to USC.
Yeah, that's definitely shocking. But then it's not, right? But then you're like, eh, is it? I guess initially when I got it, I was shocked.
You're always surprised when a blue blood loses their coach, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who poaches from blue bloods? And then Brian Kelly at Notre Dame is leaving to go to LSU.
Yeah.
So not only are we losing, two blue bloods got poached. And I guess we can start off with Lincoln Riley first. So Lincoln Riley, first of all, I guess it came out that he was not a fan of them going to the SEC.
Oh.
But I think more to do with it is when you coach at Oklahoma – you have to convince kids from Texas to go to Oklahoma. Or you got to convince kids from California, Florida, you know, wherever you got to go. Because the state of Oklahoma doesn't produce a lot of talent. Not enough to sustain a powerhouse program. lately he had been – Lincoln Riley had been recruiting California very well. He had been getting some 5 stars out of there, some 4 stars. He was doing pretty well in California. I guess he figures I can just go get all the good California kids.
Yeah, keep them
if
home.
If I'm at USC, I can just – I don't have to beg them to move halfway across the country. If I'm already getting a good amount of them, let me just get all of them. So I have no doubt that he's going to build a powerhouse there. USC will be a contender in the next couple of years. Because, again, he already has a relationship recruiting that state, but now he's the man of the state. And there's nobody in the Pac-12 that's taken advantage while they've been down. So I would bet all the money in the world that Lincoln Riley gets them back.
Yeah, if you're USC in the Pac-12, you're not afraid of teams the way if you're Oklahoma in the SEC. I
mean, yeah.
It's different.
And again, USC's been down and nobody has taken advantage. Oregon kind of has, but even then, they haven't been anything scary. So he's going to go in, hit the ground running. I would say within 2 or 3 years, he's in the playoffs, winning the Pac-12. And make no mistake, I don't know how young or older listeners are, but when USC's rolling, they're as good as anybody in America. Yeah. I think he knows he can challenge Alabama, Georgia, if he builds a good USC team.
Yeah, there's so much talent over there.
And yeah.
Just getting them to stay home, stay in California.
Now, Brian Kelly from Notre Dame to LSU, that was probably more surprising. He went the different route. He wants, you know, Notre Dame always makes the playoff and then they get beat down by an SEC team. He's decided, you know what, I'm going to join the SEC and maybe be able to build a roster that can compete. That one's surprising because you mentioned it. Notre Dame is still, I mean, a long shot, but they could still sneak into the playoffs.
Yeah.
If they do, who's going to coach them? Like, it's nuts.
But I think that, I mean, Notre Dame is a big, obviously it's a big head coaching job in football, but LSU is one of the bigger, I mean, outside of, you know, I think of USC, Texas, Alabama, LSU is right up there with the top spots. You know, like if
you would put LSU job ahead of Notre Dame?
I would, yeah.
You would? Well, I mean, yeah. Brian Kelly did, so.
Yeah, I would. It's a lot harder to get people to go up to Notre Dame, too, than it is to go to LSU.
Yeah, and I think that's the theme of both of these is recruiting. You can be a blue blood, but if you're not in an area that naturally has recruits around them, apparently you can get your coach stolen from you.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Recruiting will heat up after this week. I think the signing period is either next week or the week after.
Any of those big high school prospects committed here in Texas yet?
Oh, so last night, Evan Stewart, the number one player in Texas, wide receiver,
yeah.
Committed to Texas A&M.
Oh, your mother.
Which is very surprising because A&M does not produce wide receivers.
Yeah.
I saw a stat, and of course Sarkisian does. He had a Heisman Trophy winning receiver last year. He had a freshman All-American, Xavier Worthy, this year. Xavier Worthy, a freshman at Texas, a bad Texas team, had more touchdowns than the top three A&M receivers combined. So I don't know if Evan Stewart, you know, maybe he just feels more comfortable winning at A&M, even though, I mean, we kind of have to talk about the fact that this was supposed to be a top year for them, and they lost 4 games again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say that's just who they are, but in my lifetime, that's who they've been.
Any rumors that this kind of skid that Texas has been on outside of, you know, this past week is kind of the root of that, him making that decision?
I would imagine so because again, Sarkisian develops receivers. He develops them into Heisman Trophy winners and first-round draft picks. We've seen what Jalen Waddle's done in the league already. Devontae Smith with the Eagles. But yeah, I guess I had enough. That had enough to do with it to push him to A&M. There's still a few more 5-stars in the state of Texas that haven't committed, but we will definitely keep you posted because I am curious to see how they go or where they go, especially with Oklahoma being down. Do they still believe in A&M? Do they still believe in Sarkisian's vision? Like, there's a lot of storylines for recruiting this year, especially in Texas. So we'll definitely have all the info on the top kids. I also like to see what the local kids are doing. I used to get the paper back then, just to see, you know, the top 50 kids here in town or 25. I don't know if they still do that, but I can find a list somewhere else. I don't need to get the paper. So we'll break that down. I think it's either next week or the week after, but whenever it is, it's in the next 2 weeks and we will cover it. But any other sports news? The Rangers are spending money like crazy.
Yeah, I saw that.
So they're definitely trying to make a run. They, in the last 24 hours or so, they've committed $500 million of salary.
That's nuts.
It is. Baseball's nuts, man, the money they have. Yeah. We'll talk more about that when baseball season's getting closer. But, yeah, the Rangers are making moves. The Astros, still no word on Correa.
No, they did sign Verlander, another one-year deal.
Yes, they did get Verlander. So we'll see. I know there's supposed to be a lockout in the next day or two. So that's supposed to halt everything for a while. Maybe that's why the Rangers went out and got what they got before that happens. But again, it's, you know, we won't talk too much baseball right now, but just know the Rangers are spending, trying to be good, thankfully. Other than that, any other sports to talk about? I think we're good. We're waiting for the Cowboys. So, busy week for sports fans here in town. We got the Cowboys Thursday, UTSA Friday, and then we'll have conference championship Saturday, and then, of course, regular NFL Sunday. So it kicks off. That's why we're recording a little early because
we play. Does the Spurs play Golden State this weekend? I think they.
Yes. That Golden State game is coming. Yes, they do. So plenty of stuff.
Yep.
So besides all the sports, Mouse, the world wants to know, what have you been watching?
Man, so I got a little list. Usually it's like one. I guess it's not that much, but it's usually like one or two shows. But I did have some time off, so I watched some TV. First thing I got on my list, I didn't write down what channel it was on, but I watched The Accountant, which is the movie with, oh man, what's that guy's name?
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck, yeah, of course. So, have you seen it? I'm sure you've
seen Yes.
it. Yeah, I love it. I think it's a really good movie. Interesting kind of plot, storyline. So I watched that on regular cable. I don't know if it was like Showtime or HBO, one of those channels. And then I watched a documentary on Prime Video called They Call Us Monsters. And it's a documentary, I think it came out last year, that it basically follows like four juvenile offenders or kids that are in juvenile school or juvenile, what is it called? Like juvie, I guess.
Yeah.
Is what we would call it. They're in juvie in California. And a guy's going in there trying to get them to write a screenplay and to create a movie. Super interesting. Follows the four kids. Like 20 minutes into the first, one of the kids gets shipped out to like San Quentin. So he's gone. But it was an interesting watch. I had to be careful because after I watched that, all these jail and like locked up documentaries started popping up.
Yeah.
And I was tempted to just watch them all, but I didn't want to be I didn't want to come out here just talking about jail shows. So anyway, watch that.
Hey, do it. That's your.
It's my shtick. They Call Us Monsters. That was on Prime Video. And then I went out and did what you said I was going to do. I signed up for like a free or 1 month Paramount Plus.
Yes, I do it.
And I finished off SEAL Team last week. And so I think it's getting canceled. I don't think it's coming back. I think there were maybe 4 or 5 episodes on Paramount Plus, but it was great because I guess since they're not on TV or is Paramount Plus, they could cuss. And so the tone kind of changed a little bit, and hearing them cuss and things like that was really interesting.
Isn't it funny how just because they can, they start doing it right away?
Yeah, I'm sure. They started saying all sorts of stuff. I'm like, what? That was unnecessary, but I like it. I'm not mad at them for it. So finished off SEAL Team. Again, I think it's done forever, but I really enjoyed that show. That was on Paramount Plus. And then on ESPN Plus, I started watching Man in the Arena, which is kind of a multiple-part documentary on Tom Brady.
Yeah, they've been promoting it. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm curious to see what your thoughts.
I caught the first two episodes, and, you know, just – it's. I guess they're trying to do, like, the Last Dance, which it's not going to compete with because that was Jordan. And just so much more happened then, and obviously Jordan not playing now makes it a little bit different, I think. But it was super interesting. Again, I saw the first two episodes. There might have been a third that came out. I'm not quite sure, but I saw two of them. And it just reminded me, I forgot how good Drew Bledsoe was back then. And, I mean, that was like 2001, I guess 2002. And I knew Bledsoe got hurt and Brady stepped in. But I don't really remember the rest of it. Like, I remember that storyline, and it goes in to talk about in the AFC Championship that when Bledsoe, they took out his leg. I mean, excuse me, Brady, they kind of hit Brady low, and he really could have went back in, but the game was kind of too big for him. Like, he said he was afraid to play in that game. So it's a really good documentary. It gives a ton of insight on Brady. And again, you know, people like Brady and Kobe and Jordan, just to be able to listen to them talk and get their thoughts and see how hard they work. I love that type of stuff. So it was interesting. And it was funny to hear Drew Bledsoe say that Tom Brady was annoyingly inquisitive. Like, he was just asking questions all the time to Drew Bledsoe. So it's some good stuff. If you haven't watched it, definitely check that out on the ESPN Plus, Man in the Arena.
I will.
Tom Brady kind of documentary. And then the last thing I watched was on Hulu. I never had Hulu. I got an email from Hulu. It was like 99 cents a month for the next 12 months. So it's just might as well get it. And it was The Curse of Von Dutch.
Yes, I watched that too.
Did you?
Okay. Yes.
What did you think?
It was crazy. Like,
yeah.
Because I even was thinking, why do I want to watch a show about a hat that was famous for like 2 years? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But then I was like, you know what? Maybe it'll be a nice little nostalgia. Remind me of college. I did not expect that crazy story. I'll tell you that. It was good.
Yeah, I think when I think of Von Dutch, I think of like Pink, Paris Hilton, kind of girly, that type of.
Like a homeboy from the show Punk'd, Ashton Kutcher.
Ashton Kutcher. Yeah, that's what my wife said. I was like, oh, I forgot about him.
He would always wear those during Punk'd.
Yeah, but to see that. This it was kind of created by some gangsters, like, you know,
it really was
because they talk about it initially, but one of the founders is charged with murder, you know what I mean? Like, stuff, yeah. Those guys are no joke. So
I can't recommend that enough. I think it's 3 episodes.
Yeah, I think so.
And you're gonna fly through them because the story is so good. It's a story about, like you said, gangsters. It's a story about being an entrepreneur. A story about backstabbing people in business. I mean, there's so many characters that had their fingers. Are there, you know, the first episode is like, who created Von Dutch?
Yeah.
And you don't really answer that. I mean, there's so many people involved.
Yeah, it's funny. It kind of says like founder and it has a question mark. Like, are they the founder or are they not?
Yeah. Like, that was really good. I would watch it again.
Uh-huh.
But you're right. It was good.
It was crazy to think back to. I can picture that that Cribs episode with that dude.
Tommy Lee.
Yeah, and like to know that guy was there. You know what I mean? How that kind of went down was super interesting.
Because it's also a story of how celebrity culture became the big thing.
Mm-hmm.
Tabloids and stuff, shows like Cribs, where we just couldn't get enough of celebrity life. I guess it's still like that, but. I guess, too, for me, you know, you and me, we're the same age. We were, like, in college years, so we cared about that stuff. And, we went to parties with people probably had Von Dutch hats. And
yeah.
But, yeah, it's much more than that. I don't even remember. The hat comes at the end of the story. Like,
yeah. Yep.
The story's so nuts. It was real good.
Yeah, that's all I got on my list. Other than that, what did you watch, JD?
I have quite a list. I watched Shang-Chi, the Marvel movie. It hit theaters a couple months ago, and it came on Disney Plus a few weeks ago. So it's a major movie. It's kind of like them kicking off the new superheroes that are going to come out.
Okay.
It was really good. I enjoyed it way more than I thought. It was the first Marvel movie I didn't go to the theaters for, just because I hadn't gone to the theater in over... Honestly, I had gotten lazy because HBO Max puts out all their movies on HBO Max.
Yep.
I was kind of, mad that Disney didn't just put the movie on Disney Plus. Yeah. But it was well worth it. My kid has watched it like 3 or 4 times already now. I really recommend that, especially if you have Disney Plus. Sticking with Disney Plus, I started watching Hawkeye. It's a series. It's their new Marvel series. There's 2 episodes out now. That was really good. I think it's going to be a good show. I watched, speaking of HBO Max, do you remember the movie The Outsiders?
Like 80s movie? Yeah.
So they put out a director's cut.
Oh.
So The Outsiders is a classic novel. A lot of kids read it, usually in middle school, high school. When Francis Ford Coppola, the reason he made the movie, his granddaughter was like in middle school at the time, and she asked him to make it. She's like, we love this book. We think it'd be a great movie. So he makes it. Well, when a director makes a movie, the studio will get the movie and they'll make some edits themselves. That's how we get director's cuts later on,
Mm-hmm.
So they cut the movie to whatever. I'm not going to tell the story because it's part of HBO Max. This is the director's cut. It's called The Complete Novel. It's the way it sounds. It's the complete novel version. It's still not very long. It's I think it's 2 hours, so it's not like you're watching this 4-hour, way overdone movie. I forgot how good that movie is. It's a really good movie. And the pieces that they added back to it really fit. And this is going to be a theme on my what am I watching. But I really recommend, and if you've never seen The Outsiders, it does hold up very well. It's on HBO Max. It's called The Outsiders, The Complete Novel. I also forgot how many stars were launched in that movie. Tom Cruise, Patrick Swayze, Ralph Macchio, Emilio Estevez, Diane Lane. Like,
oh, dang.
He had such...
That whole crew.
Yeah, he had such an eye for talent. Like, almost everybody in that movie became a big star. So I watched that. And then I watched Rocky IV. It's called Rocky IV, Rocky versus Drago. It's the director's cut of that movie.
Mm.
It completely changes the movie.
What?
Now, the plot's the same. But what I mean is, when you watch this version, and you have to rent it. I think I paid $3 on Amazon Prime or whatever you have, Apple TV, you can rent it there. It's a way more serious movie. They cut out, the robot. Remember the robot?
Yeah.
He's not in this version. It's a way more serious movie. Honestly, it's a better movie.
Huh.
So if you're into Rocky IV, which most men our age are.
What's your favorite Rocky? Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Man, probably 4, but I'm a big fan of all of them. But this version was really good. It's worth the $3, $4, whatever it is. It's a different take. It makes the movie have a way different feel, way more serious. Like, it's a good movie, not just a over the top 80s movie,
Where did you watch that?
I rented it on Amazon Prime. So, most people use Amazon Prime or Apple TV or Vudu, whatever you use to rent movies, it's on there.
Yeah.
I watched 8-Bit. 8-Bit Christmas. I'm sorry, it's called 8-Bit Christmas.
Yep, I saw that.
It's a good movie. It's on HBO Max. It's a good children's movie, too. So if you're looking for something new to watch with your kids for Christmas, It is age appropriate. For those that don't know about it, it's a guy, again, our age, it's kind of the theme. He's telling his kid about his quest to get a Nintendo back in the 80s for Christmas. And it takes a different turn. I'm going to tell you that. I mean, it's a silly movie. It's fun. It's fun to go back to the 80s. It also takes a very sentimental turn. It's a good movie. It's worth it on HBO Max. I don't think that's at theaters. I think it's strictly on HBO Max. I did go to the theater, though, for the first time.
What?
Almost 2 years.
Don't give them your money. We want everything to be streaming.
I know. I went to go watch Ghostbusters Afterlife. So, side story, my kids love the Ghostbusters movies. And I grew up in the 80s. I liked Ghostbusters. I didn't love Ghostbusters. Not like my kids did. Like, because people would ask me, did you push this on? Like, no, I don't love it nearly as much as they do. We were Ghostbusters for Halloween 1 year. The Proton Pack, the Ecto-1, everything was here at the house. The t-shirts. So we had to go watch this movie during Thanksgiving break. Man, it was really good.
Is that the new one with Paul Rudd?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really, really good. I can't recommend that movie enough. It was worth it. I'm glad that was the movie I came back to the theater for.
Yeah. So is it like after or like where is it on the timeline? Okay.
It's definitely part 3.
Okay.
So it's in the same universe. So, you know, the Ghostbusters have come and gone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically one of the Ghostbusters passes away and he leaves this old farmhouse to his family. And they go there and discover all Ghostbusters type stuff and what he was doing there. And it's a good movie. It's a really good movie. I don't want to say too much because I hope people are just as surprised and, you know, the twists and turns and the plot.
Yeah.
But it's really good. If you're a Ghostbusters fan,
check it out. They do
it justice. If you're just a fan, you know, even if you're not, you can follow along with the movie pretty easily. All you really have to know is, oh, there used to be Ghostbusters, and then you're fine. But it's really, really good. It's worth it. So I did go back to the theater. One of our old co-hosts, Josh, is going to be extremely happy. Even though I want theaters to kind of go away so I can watch everything from my couch. And it's funny because my kids have gotten so used to it, especially my little one. My little one's only 5, so for the last 2 years.
He doesn't really remember.
Yeah. So he got home and he's like, hey, Daddy, which app has Ghostbusters Afterlife so I could watch it?
Oh.
I was like, man, not yet. He goes, what do you mean? Like, I've been watching Shang-Chi over and over. What do you mean?
It's got to go to the dollar movie first, and then after the dollar movie.
I should use this movie to teach him how movies work, right? I should take him to the dollar movie.
Like, Daddy, it's so dirty here.
Yeah.
It smells.
There's some seats missing in the row. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, he should feel the whole process.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's waiting for that. And that's all I've got. I have something else, but I'm going to talk to you offline because I need you to watch it too.
Okay. Could do that.
And you'll like it. Before we go, we always have a review of either food, drink, something around town. I got to say, I took my kids this weekend to Travis Park. They just lit up the Christmas tree downtown at Travis Park. They also have ice skating down there.
Yeah.
The whole park is lit up in lights with the big tree, ice skating, all that. It's really cool. I really recommend it. I know it sounds touristy or maybe expensive or trappy, but it's really cool to, you know, just to enjoy the city you live in. They do a great job with the Christmas feel. Me, my wife, and my oldest son ice skated. We did a great job. Even if you don't want to get on the ice, I guarantee you, you'll get some hot chocolate or maybe a mixed drink. They do have a bar in that park. You can get yourself a shot or some hot chocolate or whatever. You're going to want to stand around the ice rink and watch people eat it. People are falling. Dude, people are falling like crazy. Luckily, I wasn't one of those people. But man, people were killing themselves. It was pretty funny to see my fellow San Antonians eat ice. That was my biggest fear, was one of them was going to grab me as they were going down.
Oh, that's the worst.
Because when people fall, they don't just like fall, right? They start doing that kicking where they're kicking their feet real high, trying to catch themselves. And they're making it worse because they're kicking as high as they can.
Yeah.
And then they reach for whatever's around them and nothing's there. Boom. So if you do want to go ice skating, go to Travis Park's website. Because you can reserve tickets for a certain time. That way you're guaranteed to go in. You don't want to go there, show up, and the line's too long, and you got, you know, you're disappointed or your kids are disappointed you don't get to skate. So go on there. It'll tell you how many tickets are available for each time slot. I really recommend doing that. Show them the Christmas tree. We even walked down to the Riverwalk. We did the riverboat.
Oh, that's fun.
See all the lights on the Riverwalk. Went to the Alamo because in between Travis Park and the Riverwalk, the Alamo's there. So we saw the Christmas tree at the Alamo. We did it, you know, we did the whole Christmas spirit thing.
You can't talk about the Alamo and not ask if you found Pee-wee's bike.
Man, it was too late at night. It wasn't even open to go down to the basement. But yeah, I recommend it, especially if you're going to do it. I know we started the show talking about being too crazy of sports fans. So I'm going to end it the same way. Do it this weekend. Sunday, the Cowboys don't play.
Mm-hmm.
Or Saturday night. Maybe if you don't care about the conference championships or you watch the main ones and then you go downtown afterwards. UTSA plays Friday, Cowboys Thursday. So you have no excuse. Get down there. If you can make it during the week, they're doing ice skating during the week as well. It'll probably be easier and a lot less crowded.
Yeah,
but I really recommend enjoying the city during Christmas.
I actually made the mistake. My mother-in-law and brother-in-law were at our house Friday night, and they wanted to talk about going downtown to see the lights. And I wasn't thinking the River Parade was going on, and I wasn't thinking about Travis Park. I mean, I knew there was the light in the Christmas tree at Travis Park, but it's all blocked off, all in there. Broadway's still under construction in a ton of areas, so be careful and plan accordingly.
But, yeah, go ahead and do that. Score some points, man, since they put up with you. Hogging the TV.
Do it.
But that's all we have this week. Next week we'll know. I think we'll know. Yes, we will know what bowl game UTSA is going to. We'll hopefully be celebrating a conference championship. We'll know more about the Spurs. We'll see who's stepping up. Obviously the Cowboys will be a hot topic. We'll break down college football playoff because we'll know who's going. We'll know quite a bit by next week. Maybe Mouse will get on the ice skating rink.
Yeah, maybe.
But yeah, get downtown, support it. It's a lot of fun. Get you in the Christmas spirit. But until then, go Spurs, go.